Well, I mean, that's storytelling 101. If you're only telling half the story, right? You're telling the upfront need portion of the story, the problem that exists. If we don't ever circle back and
Resourcing thousands of churches across America, really enabling them to have food for their outreaches and for their food pantries.
ministry, you guys are international in your approach and access.
That's correct. That's
Do you have a
correct. We're
specific
in
focus, a percentage you lean one way or the other, or is it?
as the leader, first and foremost, I need to model what I am espousing in that book. And I certainly endeavor to do that. But it's not just me, it's the other leaders.
Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Hal Donaldson. He is the president and CEO of Convoy of Hope. Hal, thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be with you, Zach.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Can
the
you share
invite.
a little bit about Convoy of Hope? How was it founded? What was the process, the vision behind the organization? Some of those purpose statement type stuff you guys, that drives the organization.
Yeah, I mean, it really, you can trace our history back to when I was 12, believe it or not. This particular night, my parents were hit by a drunk driver, and I was home with a babysitter, my two younger brothers, younger sister, and the police came to let us know what had happened, and a number of neighbors and friends began to gather in our front yard, and the police officer addressed the crowd. He said, "Are there any family members here, any friends who are willing to take these four small children home with them tonight? If not, we'll take them downtown to the station." And that particular night, one family raised their hands and they said, "We'll take them." And Bill and Levada Davis, all they owned was a small single wide trailer, and they had kids of their own. And so for about a year, we ended up living with Bill and Levada. But during that year, I experienced the shame of poverty and the pain of poverty because my parents didn't have insurance and the man who hit them didn't have insurance. And so I experienced the shame of poverty, but I also experienced the power of kindness, because people just wrapped their arms around us and showed us love. And so fast forward to my 20s, I was writing books as a ghostwriter, and I had traveled to Calcutta, India to write a book for some missionaries. And they took me over to meet Mother Teresa and to interview Mother Teresa. And in the course of the interview, she asked me, she said, "What are you doing to help the poor and the suffering?" And I said, "Well, I'm really not doing much of anything." And she said, "Well, everyone can do something." And so again, I had been raised poor, Zach, and here I was saying to her, I had not helped the poor. I was not reaching out to the poor. And I felt really convicted. I came back to the States, and I just felt compelled to do something quite unusual. To travel to 8 cities, to live in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights. I went to Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, D.C., New York, walked the streets interviewing drug addicts and gang members, prostitutes, runaways, and the homeless. I rode with the police on the midnight shift. And God just really broke my heart. And I came back from those trips and that experience. And 30 years ago, I loaded up a pickup truck with $300 worth of groceries. And I was living in Northern California, and just went out and started passing them out to working poor families. And that was the start of Convoy of Hope 30 years ago.
Wow, that's quite a story. As you guys have stepped into that need, what have been some of the developments of the ministry over the years that have maybe been significant?
Yeah, we began a quest to feed 1 million children every day. We're currently at 571,000 every day and around the world. And but we're on a quest to feed 1 million children every day. We empower about 45,000-50,000 women and girls every year. We train and disciple farmers, tens of thousands of them every year. So that's our work internationally. It's integrated that way. But we also respond to disasters anywhere in the United States or around the world. Convoy of Hope, you can count on Convoy of Hope to be there. And right now we're down in Florida, and we're in North Carolina, and responding to Hurricanes Helene and Milton.
So this is not just a domestic ministry. You guys are international in your approach and access.
That's correct.
Do you have a specific focus or a percentage you lean one way or the other, or is it pretty split?
It's really split. And another thing that we do, we don't talk a lot about it, but we are resourcing thousands of churches across America, really enabling them to have food for their outreaches and for their food pantries. And we believe that's a big part of what we're going to do in the future. We have a fleet of semi-trucks, a large fleet, and those trucks crisscross America, empowering the church to reach out to the poor and the hurting.
And so is across the ministry, is there this strategic approach to partnership with church through the church and the local body?
Everything we do, whether it's children's feeding, women's empowerment, agriculture, disaster response, it's all connected to the local church. We also do like community festivals where we'll bring together maybe 100 churches and businesses and civic organizations to touch their city on a weekend. And so we give a full menu of services to the working poor. And it'll be everything from free medical and dental care, job fairs, free shoes for kids, free haircuts. But again, it all comes back to one principle, and that's what we believe that the church is God's plan to heal the world. And we are a supply chain to the church. We're resourcing the church to do what God's called them to be.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I've heard it said the church is his plan A, and he doesn't have a plan B. I love that.
That's right. Yeah, we're not trying to replace the church.
Yeah, no, that's good. What are some of the biggest challenges you guys face over the years, and what are some of the ways maybe that you have worked to overcome those challenges?
Yeah, I would say certainly in the early days, resources were a challenge. You didn't have the track record. You didn't have really, you didn't have the network of relationships. I would say that resources continue to be a challenge, but there's just more zeros, you know, behind it and your need. It's a faith ministry. We're still reliant on God to do the impossible, to work through people. And, we have more resources at our disposal today, but the needs have also increased, Zach. It's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of needs come our way every day. And that's the truth. Just whether it's domestic or international, just requests for help. And so we need more resources, both in terms of food resources, manpower, human power, and also the food and supplies. So, yeah, that's some of our big challenges right now, making sure you have the resources that are equivalent to the need.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about stepping into this need. That need is always going to be there, right? You talk about feeding a million kids a day, I think is what you said, right? That's not a week. That's not a year. Right, that's a day.
That's right.
That kind of approach versus what does it look like for you guys to come alongside and teach and train and equip and resource partners and churches to begin to step into these needs without having to depend on a ministry like Convoy of Hope. It sounds like you guys are especially doing that within an international context. Is that a shift that's taken place over the course of the ministry? Or are you guys, is that a new development within maybe the last couple of years? What does that look like as you've thought about your approach?
I think it was about 15 years ago that we made a commitment that everything we do would be tethered to the local church, that we would not do things apart from the church. And here's an irony, Zach, is that when we made that commitment to the local church, Convoy of Hope began to grow at 20% a year, and we've grown at 20% a year ever since.
Man, so there's a direct tie to that decision made to the growth of the ministry.
I really do believe that. I do. Yes.
And so it's strictly a church partnership model on the stepping into need, the execution side of things. Is that also the case on the funding side?
It is, although the funding really comes from three different resources or sources. We have churches, individuals, and corporations. And so it's all three. And we really, we kind of define Convoy of Hope as a church-driven ministry. Some would say a church-based ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I think it was that decision that's led to just the resources flowing to us, because I do believe that God entrusts resources to those he trusts. And so we want to do everything we can as an organization to make sure that God trusts us, and that we have this mantra at Convoy that we are going to do what we say we're going to do. We're going to underpromise and overdeliver, and we're going to operate at the highest level of integrity. Why? Because we want God to trust us. And we don't see Convoy of Hope as a reservoir of resources. We see ourselves as a channel of his blessings to the world. And so we want to keep that channel open and as wide as possible so that resources can flow through us to the local church and to ministries around the world.
Hmm. That's good. Well, Hal, I want to make sure that we take a moment for today's sponsor. But when we come back, I really want to get into talking about your new book, What Really Matters. Hey, ministry leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Click Nonprofit. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results page and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up and get 20% off your first 3 months of management. All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Hal Donaldson of Convoy of Hope. And Hal, as we get back into the conversation, I want to talk about your new book, What Really Matters. Maybe to start us off, just share a little bit about what motivated you to write this book.
Yeah, the subtitle is How to Care for Yourself and Serve a Hurting World. And Zach, I wrote the book in large part because of Convoy of Hope's meteoric growth. And what was happening is I was getting a lot of inquiries, requests from pastors, organizational leaders, business leaders, asking, well, what's the secret sauce? How do you grow an organization so quickly? Mm-hmm. And I think right now we're like the 35th largest charity on the Forbes list. And out of 1.8 million charities, we're 35. And so people wanted to know why and how. And, you know, I would respond by saying, well, you as a leader, you need to make sure that your heart is healthy. You need to make sure that you're physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy, because your heart is the foundation that God builds upon. And if your heart is healthy, you're giving God, you're handing God this massive foundation, and he can build something great. If your heart is flawed, then what happens is God can only build so tall on a flawed foundation. And so I would say that to leaders, and they would say, yeah, I get that. But what's the organizational adjustments that I need to make, you know, to grow my organization or my church? And so I just figured finally, you know, why don't I just put it in writing so that when people do call now, I can just slip a book in the mail to them. So that was really the motivation.
Hmm. So a lot of what you write about in this book is directed towards like soul care. Would that be a good umbrella statement?
Yeah, I think whole person care. You know, I think it's how do we stay physically healthy, spiritually strong, and how do we emotionally keep it all together? And how do we find a place of, I don't like to use the word balance. I like to use the word obedience. Mm. How do we find that place of obedience? Because if you're obedient to the voice of the Lord, then you will be balanced. And I think what happens is that we get ourselves in trouble when we try to work at 125%. We make sacrifices that God isn't asking us to make. And the irony is, Zach, I think when I made some life changes, 15 or so years ago, that's when Convoy of Hope began to grow. When I became less self-reliant and more God-reliant, Convoy took off. Mm.
Yeah. Would you mind sharing maybe some of the things that you, some of those challenges or difficulties that you walked through that on coming out the other side of that, having learned what you learned, through his grace and guidance, obviously, like the things that you overcame, what were some of those things that got you to the point where you learned those lessons and were able to start applying them?
At age 50, I found myself in the hospital with heart issues, and they had to put two stents in my heart. And it was during that hospital stay that I really felt like God was, convicting me that I was trying to do too much. And so when I stepped out of the hospital, I resigned one of my jobs. I stepped off of 8 boards. I canceled 2 book writing contracts. I got very intentional. And if I can just get practical with you for a moment, I'll just share with you some of the things that I did to really change my pattern of living. I used to do meetings, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I became convicted over the dinner meetings because that's my family time. That's my wife's time. It's God's time. Mm-hmm. And so I just basically don't do many dinner meetings anymore. I began to make vacations sacred. At the beginning of the year, I would map out with my wife and my daughters. I have 4 daughters, and we would map out vacation time and rest time. And those dates were sacred. At one vacation, I received an invitation to go to the Oval Office and meet with 5 other leaders with the president. And I turned it down simply because my family was more important. I think another thing that I do is, I do this even now, is that at 8 o'clock, I don't worry about or deal with hard issues or deal with things that I can deal with tomorrow. It's like an alarm bell that goes off at 8 o'clock at night. And the reason is that if you're thinking about it at 8 o'clock, you're probably going to be thinking about it at midnight or 2 in the morning, and you're going to be lying awake trying to solve tomorrow's problems. And what you're actually doing is you're stealing from tomorrow. And so, I think for me, it took intentionality. It took those baby steps to help me find a more healthy place.
And so, to be clear, this all took place while you were running Convoy of Hope, or had you not started? Did the timeline line up to where you were running yourself ragged, running Convoy of Hope?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had been running myself ragged for a decade, and again, being very self-reliant, traveling all over the world, doing great things, feeding kids and helping the church. I mean, I was doing great things, but in my scheme of things, I feel like I was doing the right things, but I was doing too much of the right thing, I really needed to pull back and get a little bit more on the obedience side of things. And when I did that, just Convoy began to grow. Mm. I think I can sum it up by telling you that I began to pray more and work less.
Mm. So there was this drive and strive and to-do type drive, really, that was... Yeah. Maybe jettisoning this idea of being and just trusting and letting the Lord kind of guide and lead and give you the strength where you didn't have any.
Correct. Yeah, I would classify it as reckless ambition. Mm-hmm. And a lot of ministry leaders have reckless ambition. And, I know you probably don't want to get too deep into this, but I think what happens is that when we're younger, we begin to idolize people who have the loudest voice or the largest platform or the biggest network. As in retrospect, I wish I had idolized not people who are the loudest voices, but people who are the most humble, people who are the most loyal, people who are the most faithful. And because I think what happens is subconsciously, you're trying to live up to the expectations of other people, but also trying to live up to the standards that are have been created by those people you were idolizing in your 20s and 30s. And for me, when I began to really, I guess, surround myself and to look up to people who really, they weren't necessarily the loudest, but they were people who were humble and were kind. You know, I think I began to become more like them, hopefully. That's certainly the goal. But if you're just trying to build a career and build an organization or build a charity, that's kind of an empty life, honestly. It's empty. I think it's a lot more to strive to be more like Jesus.
Yeah. The idea that doing good could become something that would be idolized, I think, is something that we all struggle with in the ministry space. Like raising that thing up, ultimate, look what I've done, versus just abiding and being and letting him kind of be the strength and give direction to where we're leading our organizations.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
How do some of the themes in the book align with the mission and values of Convoy of Hope?
You know, as the leader, first and foremost, I need to model what I am espousing in that book. And I certainly endeavor to do that. But it's not just me, it's the other leaders. And making sure that if you are in a place of leadership, that you're modeling some of the values and the ideals and principles that are in the book. But I think it's important for leaders to become broken records. If they are leading an army, like we do here at Convoy, an army of amazing people, compassion givers, you have to become like a broken record. And you have to be willing to talk about humility a lot. You need to talk about the fact that we're not trying to build Convoy of Hope. We're not trying to grow Convoy of Hope. It's all about elevating the local church and lifting up the name of Jesus. It's those kind of messages that you can't say one time. You have to say repeatedly so that they become a part of the fabric of the organization.
How often do you find, it sounds like you walked through some of these challenges. There was a lot of personal growth and development that took place that 15 years ago. Maybe this is a more of a personal question for me and my interest in hearing your story, but like what has it looked like for you to overcome those challenges, walk through those difficulties and that conflict in your story, and learn and apply the things that you learned? But is there periods over the last 15 years where you've kind of maybe picked up old habits and you know, picked things up that you had laid down or repented of, that like this cyclical sanctifying process, like just because we overcame it once doesn't mean it doesn't pop up and show its ugly head later on in our career and our ministry. Have you experienced that at all throughout the course of leading this organization?
Oh, absolutely. That's an ongoing challenge. Again, because at times you're choking on opportunity. And the tendency is to want to take advantage of every opportunity. Because if you take advantage of this opportunity, it means that you can touch more lives. And so you begin to talk yourself into doing things that you probably shouldn't do. But this is why it's so important for leaders to surround themselves with the right kind of people. Don't surround yourself with opportunists. Don't surround yourself with cheerleaders. No, surround yourself with people who are truth tellers, who are going to hold you accountable and tell you what you probably don't want to hear. People who will tell you, you know, slow down, let someone else do that. Delegate to them. Let them be the ones that go and represent. And so I think that's one of the decisions I made some years ago is that, you know, if you look at my 3-foot rule, the people who are in my inner circle, those are people who are truth tellers. They're godly people. But what happens is that leaders tend to surround themselves with the wrong kind of people. And so what happens is, you could be out there working at 125 or 150%, and you're not even aware of it. And if you don't have the right people around you, then you may not be aware of it, and you may not change it.
For ministry leaders who are reading your book or listening to this show, what's some practical advice that you offer on prioritizing, like, what truly matters, both in their personal life and their professional life?
Yeah, I think several things. One is that I believe that success can be more dangerous than failure, and recognize that. Why is that the case? It's because that if success sometimes leads to self-reliance. We as leaders, we want to be God-reliant, not self-reliant. And so, that's one thing I would say. Secondly is do like an inventory of the expectations that are surrounding you. What are those expectations? Where are they coming from? They can be coming from a spouse. It can be coming from a child, from an employer, from a coworker. Where are the expectations coming? Because a lot of times expectations can be deadly. They can cause us to make poor decisions and to do things that we shouldn't do. So that'd be a second thing that I would recommend. And then I think a third thing is that if you're trying to really plot out a course change for your life, that you need to understand that it takes baby steps. And if you need to break out of the bubble and change your priorities and change your lifestyle, start small. Typically, people start large, big, and they last a few days, and then they don't follow through. It's better to start small, be obedient, and do that, be disciplined, do that thing, and then God will show you the next. And do that, be obedient to that, and then the next, and then, the destination will take you to a much healthier place. Mm.
Do you guys have any upcoming projects or initiatives either related to the book or Convoy of Hope that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, in terms of the book, I just want to say thank you to you, Zach. Thanks for the invitation today. And we want to do more of these and radio and TV and just to encourage people to reconsider their priorities and their lifestyle, because so many believers, so many leaders in particular, are making sacrifices, that God isn't asking them to make. Mm. So that's related to the book. With Convoy, because of our desire to be feeding 1 million children a day, we will be breaking ground in a few weeks on a manufacturing facility to begin, truthfully, just manufacturing food, because the need is so great. Mm. And we want to feed kids around the world, but also more people, working poor families here in the United States. There are over 40 million working poor families in the United States. And we'd like to be able to empower churches to help them. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. So that would give you guys some freedom, or you wouldn't have to depend so much on pre-existing supply chains.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. And we'll be able to grow faster, help more people, help more churches more rapidly.
So would that give like direct access and ties and relationships with farmers and producers? Interesting.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. So those commodities, donations of commodities, will become extremely important mm-hmm. as we go down this road of, just trying to feed the world and to share with them the love of Jesus.
That's really cool. Last question, and this is, we always try to circle back to this because this is where our passion lies. How does storytelling show up, or what role does storytelling play in your ministry?
Well, I'm very biased when it comes to storytelling because I'm a journalist. Mm. I have a degree in journalism and worked as a journalist for a number of years. And, I strongly believe in that. And for this reason, I think you need to tell stories of need, all right? Tell stories of need because we're not going to respond to needs we don't know about. And so I would say that storytelling helps us do reconnaissance. It helps people see the need, hear the need, and know what they can do. But there's another story that has to be told. And I think this is where a lot of businesses, churches, civic groups maybe falter, is you talk about the need and the opportunity to meet that need, but you don't do an adequate job of storytelling on the back end. And the back end is reporting the impact that was made in the lives of the people who you helped. And so at Convoy, we're not just telling one story. We're telling two, and maybe even six or 10, because we like to go deep and tell the story of one as well. So not just the macro, but the micro as well. One family, one child, one mother. But that comes under the reporting part. So we report on just the impact is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's storytelling 101. If you're only telling half the story, right, you're telling the upfront need portion of the story, the problem that exists. If we don't ever circle back and provide the impact that our solutions had on that problem, then we're really only telling half that story. And so, you can leave. I could see how you could leave people in the dark by not including that piece. And that's the part that gets people excited, right? We see conflict and problem and need. And if that's all we communicate, it becomes guilt marketing. And so there's a need for balance between those things. We can't ignore the problem. The problems exist, right? To only communicate the hope is a significant missed opportunity as well. But have to tell both sides. Otherwise, it's not going to be effective.
That's right. Well said. Mm.
So what does that look like for you guys within, like, we'll call it donor development or your marketing efforts? Like, is this a consistent practice where you're constantly looking for stories to tell and creating media and content around that? Is it more an internal thing? Like, what does it look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's a big part of what we do, but you have to do it with, I would say, morality and ethics.
Right.
I think some storytelling is done. Use the word guilt people into giving, and I think a lot of times in ministry that happens. Mm-hmm. You begin to manipulate the stories, so everything we do, we ask this question: are we telling the story with integrity? Is everything we say accurate? And are we giving people a clear or pure presentation of what's really going on? But storytelling is a real part, big part of what we do, because we're trying to meet needs, and a lot of times I would just say the people are oblivious to the needs, and so doing that with a pure heart, doing it with integrity, is really an important part of what Convoy of Hope is doing. It's really making people aware. I mean, I can say this to you, Zach. I'm less concerned about growing Convoy of Hope and building another charity. I'm less concerned with that than I am, just being a catalyst for a movement of compassion around the world. Mm. And if indeed that's what you're trying to accomplish, you better make sure that you're telling your stories with integrity.
Yeah.
And certainly that's something we're endeavoring to do.
That's cool. Hal, if people want to get a hold of you, want to learn more about what you guys are doing at Convoy of Hope, or they want to get a copy of the book, how can they do so?
Yeah, in terms of Convoy of Hope, they can go to convoyofhope.org, and they can email me through that, or our team for more information. And there's a lot of information on that website, too, for opportunities for people to volunteer to go and be a part of, and certainly to give and to pray. In terms of the book, it's available Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Baker Books, really anywhere books are sold, it's available. So
awesome.
But thank you, Zach, for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. As we wrap up, can I pray for you?
Thank you. I'd love that.
And for our listeners, we'll be sure to put links in the description of the show notes and links to the book as well. So be sure to check those out. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this conversation, for Hal and his willingness to come on the show and share what you've been doing through Convoy of Hope and what we hope you'll do through this book, helping ministry leaders just understand the need and the necessity to depend on you, rely on you, to be led and guided by you, to walk in obedience and not continue to lean into what I think is the common propensity of so many ministry leaders. I know I would put myself in this category of just striving and leaning into the doing. We know that you have so much more interest in knowing us and having a relationship with us and being known and having us know you, to be known by you, Father, that we don't often remember that. And so I thank you for Hal and his willingness to share his story and lead other ministry leaders in this area. I pray that that book would be a blessing and that a lot of ministry leaders would get to see his insights, Father. With pray that you would continue to bless Convoy of Hope, that as they seek to feed 1 million kids a day, that you would help them get to that goal, Father, that you would help them to surpass that and you would provide the resources in order to do that. And that as they continue to grow as an organization, that they would continue to be a blessing to your bride. Father, we love you. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing, that we're invited into this redemptive story in partnership with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hal.
Thank you.
Yeah. Man. Thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Great being with you. Thanks for what you do.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Good to have you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you've enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story or expertise to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be a great guest for the show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at podcast@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry's story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org and book a call today. See you next time.